Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning, Lord. Thank you for this day. The first day of the week, once again, Father. The day that we remember, Lord, as the gathering of the saints of God when Christ resurrected. That they can gather on that resurrection morning. In days of old, so we could also gather ourselves, Lord, on this very day, just to remember the resurrection of our Lord. And how the Lord, because He resurrected, He lives, and so we live again. In the spirit of eternal life that we have within us, Father, that You have granted us. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that we are Your children. And here we are, Father, gathered together, examine ourselves together in Christ's wonderful name. The Lord, Your presence be in the midst of us, and teach Thou, Lord, and break Thou the bread of life, as Thou did it when You were on the shore of Galilee with Thy disciple. So we thank You, Lord, we ask for Your blessing. Now open our hearts to the hearing of Thy word, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated, and we are having a new subject today. As I said, we're going to deal with the book of Acts. The book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. All right, go to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 1 to 11. Brother Henry, where can you read that? Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 11.
The former treaty have I made, O Theophilus, all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that he proved the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he had heard of me. But John truly baptized with water, but he shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes on you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you to heaven shall so come in like manner as ye see him go into heaven.
Amen. Now, this will be a new series we are dealing with, the book of Acts. First of all, we must understand that this book of Acts, actually there's no title to this book. If you read the whole book of Acts, there is no title to this. I don't know how it was called the Acts of the Apostles, but I guess that because the whole book of Acts contains the Acts of the Apostles, or the Acts of the Holy Spirit rather, through the Apostles. One thing we want to know, that we need to know, is that this book of Acts is a record written by the physician, Luke, the physician. He was a disciple of Jesus. Now, Jesus did not just have 12 disciples. There are those who are chosen. Luke was among others that were chosen. Now, this book of Acts is actually a continuation from his gospel, which we all know as the Gospel of Luke. And of course, many of the things that you see or you read over in the book of Luke is actually Luke gathering information, and he put them all together. And so the same thing with this Acts of the Apostle. All the information he had from the other apostles and in his journey as well with all the others among them, and the time that he was with Jesus and witnessed the thing. So he compiled all this together as a record. Now, this is what we understand. But when he sat down to begin to write, he was moved by the Holy Spirit to put the things that are needful. So those things that are not needful for his epistle or for his record, then it is not found in there. The same thing as the Gospel of Matthew, Mark and John. You will read that their version of the Gospel is different from the others. Something that you will find in others will not be found in their records. It's because each individual wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ from the perspective that they see of him. Like Matthew. Matthew wrote about Jesus as what? The king. Remember, very easy to remember if you can remember what is the four B's. What are the four B's in the book of Revelation? That's Matthew. Mark. What was Mark's record about concerning Jesus? If you remember, Matthew was the lion. Mark was the ox. The sacrifice. Luke wrote about him as humanity, man. And lastly, John wrote of him as divine, the evil. You see. So in the book of Acts, it is a continuation of Luke's record in the book of Luke. So he did not title it actually. He talked about the former treaties and so on. Alright, so now in the book of Acts we all realize, and many of us said, we all know about it, Brother Dan. I know the book about talks about Pentecost, about the work of the apostles, this and that, but I want to ask you a lot of things. If I can ask you a question. How much do you actually observe in what you read? Like as I said, these many people go to churches. I mean, church service on Sunday. They go. They don't even carry their Bible. They wear even cargo pants. Or maybe they bring their Bible, electronic Bible, which I hate very much. And I don't want anybody to use the electronic Bible here. Because you will never learn. And that's the fact. If you want to learn, the Bible says study the Scripture. Scripture means black words on white paper, not electronic. You can't do anything on electronic. Unless there is a software where you can write all the notes on the side. If you really want to be a... Well, you know what? Paul said to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And Paul said to Timothy that the word of God is given by inspiration, in breath of God. So we need to study, not read. And when you study, like when you go to school, when you are studying in school, you write notes. The teacher may give you some kind of printed paper, points or whatever. You want to write notes, and so that you have an understanding of what you are studying. You know. So you have a sense. The reason why I said, now, I don't want to project. Some brother, overseas said, Monica, I watched the video. Why don't you project it on the wall, the various verses that you were reading? And I told him, I said, brother, you watch the video at home, take your Bible, open it up when verse is referred to. If you don't, you'll never learn. Now, in my book that I published, I wrote, I never quote many scriptures. There are times when I put a bracket, I put the verses there for the person to really look into it. If you read it like a book, you'll never learn. That's why over in Nigeria, Brother Nice and all those brothers there, the ones told me that they are really studying it, Brother. And whatever you read, that they look into the Bible, they study it. They have to look at the verse, open their Bible, look at the verses they have provided there. We don't want to take a shortcut to everything. Not like your computer desktop shortcut, right? That's on the screen. Everybody wants shortcut. We don't want to, you know, in the field, we are all green learners, we're not supposed to go across it. We, you know, they were supposed to walk a pathway in a big circle. No, we want to cut across the field and we create a path over time. Humankind, right? But there are certain things that, you know, there's no shortcut. And there's no shortcut to heaven. You are going to say, we want a shortcut. There's no shortcut to salvation. See? So when we look at it and understand then, the book of Acts, yes, the book of Acts is about how the church started. But the thing I want to say this is, who founded the church? Who founded the church? Well, let me ask, who founded Buddhism? Can you answer? Come on. Buddha. Yeah, how about Buddha? But, but what is his name? Everybody knows Gautama Buddha. But I don't know. Because the founder of Buddhism, he was an Indian, but not a Chinese. Yeah? And his name is Siddhartha Gautama. Alright. Well, he founded Buddhism. Who founded Baha'ism? Who founded Baha'ism? And our religion, if you don't know what Baha'ism, go and Google it. Baha'ullah. He founded Baha'ism. Okay, who founded Confucianism? Confucianism. Who founded that? Confucius, of course. Huh? And who founded Taoism? Huh? Not Mr. Tao. Obviously. Of course, it's Lao Tzu. And they are philosophers, but became a religion. You know? So who founded Christianity? Jesus? How many of you say Jesus founded Christianity? Founded Christianity. Come on! How many? Don't believe that Jesus founded Christianity? Okay. Or was it Paul? Founded Christianity. Or was it Peter? But you know who founded Christianity? The Pope. Yeah, they said that the Pope was the one that the church was built on. And that's why everybody think when we talk about the church, and you see the many times when the books are written, you read novels, everything is all about the Catholic Church, the Catholic Church, the Catholic Church, majority, because the Catholic Church represent the Church of God, which is far away from the truth. 99% of their doctrines are from hell. And that's true. I'm not afraid to say that. Because look at what they have in the teaching. Worship of Mary, worship of the saints. Contrary to the Bible, water baptism, by sprinkling and baptizing a baby, why on earth you get that in the Bible? And the Holy Ghost, the Son, the Father has three separate beings. Where do you get that? The Catholic Church was founded by the Pope, but not the Church of God was founded by the Pope. So who founded Christianity? Huh? The whole world people have been deceived by the Philippines. How many percent of the Philippine people are actually Catholic? Go to Central America, Nicaragua, Guatemala, Brazil. Many of these places, Mexico, you find a lot of them are Catholic. And you look at wherever Catholicism exists, look at the condition of the people. They don't advance because there's a whole lot of spiritism in it. But look at Buddhism, Confucianism, Taoism. This is a philosophy. There's no spiritism. Many of them don't do that. You know. So it's sad, isn't it? A lot of people are just deceiving the following. So who founded Christianity? Nobody. Nobody founded Christianity. Show me one place in the Bible that someone found a Christianity. It's a generally said, of course, by the people out there in the world. Buddha found Buddhism. Confucius found Confucianism. Jesus Christ founded Christianity. And that is not true. As far as the church is concerned. Nobody found the church. But the church was built upon Jesus Christ. That the faith of people is based upon Jesus Christ. So we need to understand this. Well, even in the history, they say Constantine might be the one that founded the church. Because he was the one that saw the cross in the sky and so on and so forth. And he made everybody Christian. Tried to control the whole world at that time. Alright, so now, if we look into the whole of this Bible that we have, and as far as Jesus Christ and the disciples are concerned, they were actually following what the people, well, we will call Judaism. The Jews, when they returned back to Jerusalem, under the decree of Cyrus, they built a temple, they built up their holy city. And all the time they were, worshipping Yahweh, the one true God. And they followed the oracles of the prophet that were given, God given to them through the prophet. That's all that they were doing. And they were looking for the Messiah to come. So they went through all those keeping of the law. And all the ordinances or ritual that were given to them. And the Jewish people, they were very oppressed people. When they came back to Israel, back to their home city, from Persia, under Cyrus, they returned back. From that time on, you can look at the empire of Persia, the Grecian, and the Roman. The Jews have not any record practically in their history. Because the Jews were people like, well, who are they? Not important to us. So there are practically no record in their history about the Jews. They are not prominent people. And under the Romans, they were so oppressed. And where were the Jews living there? They were living in Judea, Galilee. And all these little provinces here and there, and they were insignificant. Whenever you look into the Roman history, it's all about the council, the senate, the all these, Caesars, the conquests. And very little is ever written or touch on the Jews. There might be a record here and there regarding rebels, people like Barabbas. And there might be a mention a little bit about the man called Jesus, who proclaimed himself to be king. That's about it. So, the Jews were not anybody, any special race of people. And yet, out of the Jews came forth a religion, if you want to use that word, of faith, that actually changed the world. Think about it. Jesus came. If he called 12 disciples. He went to the temple. He went to the synagogue. He participated in all the festivities. He didn't say, I've come to give you a new religion. No. He came proclaiming the word of God. That's it. He didn't start Christianity. So don't say Jesus founded Christianity. He didn't. He didn't tell the Jew to change from Judaism to a Christian faith. Not at all. Alright. So now, where did the word Christianity come from? Well, surprising, not surprising, you find it in the Bible. 3 times were the word Christian mentioned in the Bible. And the first time it was mentioned, let's go to the book of Acts 11:26. Acts 11:26. Well, Luke.
And when he had found it, he brought him out unto him. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves, the church, and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch.
The disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. They were known as the people of the way. There was no name given to them. There was no religion ever mentioned. They were just said, these are the people of the way. What the way? Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's a way of life. He was leading them to a way of life. But because they were following Jesus Christ's teaching all these years, so suddenly people said, all these people are called Cristiano. Huh? A Greek Cristiano. So that was the first time the name Christian appeared. And later on, of course, you get Christianity. Or Christendom, as the world progressed, people, the churches organized and have their own version here and there. And today we have some 3,000-35,000 different religious sect out of Christianity. See? So nobody found it. Nobody found this Christian faith wasn't Jesus at all. They didn't even need to understand that. It's just something they started. First it was called the disciple. Then it was called the people of the way. Then the people, the common people said, oh, these are Cristiano. And the word Cristiano, or the Christian, the name Christian, is not a good name. You know? It's just a nickname. Ah, these people are followers of this man called Christ. Christian. You know. Now, what did God call these people? God didn't call the disciple Christian. What did he call them? What did he call us? Huh? We are, God calls us the saints, the sanctified ones. Or he'll call us my people. You know. Only today, what religion do you have? Buddhist. What religion do you have? Muslim. What religion do you have? Christian. You know, you there's a name tag to this thing. Well, that's because it was the history, how people call people by name. You know. So the same thing when you got extreme people out there who, extreme Muslim people who will go out there to kill and fight other Muslims even who do not agree with their versions of Islam. What do we call them? What did the world call it? What do Judge Bush and President America call them? Terrorists. Huh? You know. Yeah, I mean, they'll call all kinds of names. That's what people do. So, now when we look into the book of Acts, we need to understand that the book of Acts is not about Pentecostalism. It is about Pentecost. Now when we talk Pentecost, what is Pentecost? Now we know today what Pentecost, day of Pentecost, the feast of Pentecost, we all know all about it. The Jew know all about it, but let me tell you something. If you are living in those days, if you are a Jew, you would perform all this ritual, you know, the feast, you keep the feast on such and such a day. But what is the significance of the feast of Pentecost? They have no idea. Because it was just a feast, it's So there are harvests. A time of the harvest. But you know, God took all those fees to represent something that's future ahead of them. So the book of Acts is about the harvest. God is having something. Because the church started on the day of Pentecost. And it's not about Pentecostalism. I remember when I was in the Assemblies of God, I said, I'm a Pentecostal. Oh, Pentecostalism. And I want to associate myself. All the Pentecostalism want to associate themselves with the day of Pentecost. Has something very special because it was the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Why people get this power being endured from on high, that God give us the power to be witnesses. So there was something special. So, but Acts is about Pentecost, not Pentecostalism. It is about the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ returning to indwell the believers or the disciples, his people. At the same time, he returned and he gave them the revelation. Because you must understand, and I, but Jesus said, I pray the Father, he give you the Comforter. And when the Holy Spirit is come, he will guide you and lead you and show you things to come, right? You see, that was the purpose. The Holy Spirit came to indwell the believer. And at the same time, their eyes are open to revelation of eternal life in Jesus Christ. The reality of eternal life. See? Alright. Give them the spirit of witness. As the Bible said, God, as Paul said, the Spirit of God witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. And that's why this book of Acts is so important that we look at it carefully. The work of the Holy Spirit through the apostle, then through the early church, the people. It's not about an organization, because the church of God is not an organization. Huh? Well, we understand that. Let's go to Acts chapter 1. Now we are going to read all these various verses and examine it. We're looking at the beginning of the Spirit of God coming down, or the Spirit of Christ himself coming back as he promised the believers. To start a work. So the church is not an organization. It's just an assembly of people. And strangely enough, the early church, where did they first gather? They gather in the house. Now 120 people, they would gather 120 people, including children and women. And the disciples would go to the temple on the feast day. And later on we know that after the church started, you find the people were fellowshiping in the houses. They don't have a building. And then when they got persecuted, they were fellowshiping in the cave. In catacomb. In Rome you'll find. Like the time when China was under communism. The Christian world fellowship in the house very quietly. You just imagine, they were persecuted and yet they were not afraid to gather themselves together. As often as they could. They do not do it openly, but they were called secret believers, so to speak. Like Nicodemus, who do not want to get persecuted by his fellow Pharisees group. So those are in China, to just the fellowship. People have to plan. If there are only 10 people, they must take time to really go into a house. They don't go in as a group. Perhaps they start in the morning, somebody will go to the person's house at 6 a.m. in the morning. Remain there until 6:30, another one will come in. So they don't draw attention. So by the time the 10th person gets into the house, it'll be 5 hours past. The rest is just wait. They just wait! Think about the time. You know, when people were under trial and temptation in both and persecution, their mind is so much on God, on the Lord. They don't look at a watch. Say, oh no, I have work to do. I have this, I have that. No, forget about it. I'm hungry. Waiting 5 hours out because of a lot of hunger pain. They have to go in there 5 hours later. By the time it's already 11 o'clock. And they will just start singing. And you know how they sang? They don't open their mouth. They don't know words comes out. They just move their mouth. Oh Lord my God. Nobody opens their mouth because they don't want the neighbor to hear. And they will call the authority. Think about it. Then there will be a leader there, read the Bible and explain and expound the word to them. After an hour or two, I don't know how long it lasts, it may help them the whole day. Then they will take their maybe lunch. After that, maybe a little while of fellowship, and then one by one, each person will go out. Don't draw attention. Front door, the back door, how they go out. Ma used to read all those Christianity behind the iron curtain and the bamboo curtain, how they suffered. And it's not a building, there's no organization. So just think about it. It's a personal conviction about what you believe to be true. Why do you believe what you believe today? Why are you a Christian? Why are you a Christian? It's because of what you read in the Bible, because of what you have seen by the grace of God who opened your eyes. So the Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourself, but it's the gift of God given to you. Open your eyes to see. And thus you act and believe what you see. Spiritually. By revelation. And you come together. Nobody dictates. Nobody, you know, is a big boss to say, okay, this is the thing we do. We must have this program. We need the money. No. The Word of God will teach you. The Spirit of God will guide you to look at it. Huh? So it's a personal conviction that moves the individual. Okay. No programs to follow. We just get in homes, in houses, in cave, or whatever. Right. Even in prison. Isn't it? Straight. You know, the brother over in America, Brother John Dolan, he found Christ in prison. When he received the books, somehow he received the books of Brother Branham and then Brother Jackson's Contender, and then he got my books, and he studied, and he got a group of them together and he fellowship. You know. You never find out, say, where is the program? How is the program going to come from? Who is the chairman? Who is the leader that will come, you know, to the plate, the prison, and minister to us? No. The true believer will find his place. Find their own place. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. The former treatise, that's the book that he wrote, the Gospel of Luke. All that he have written. Now he wrote this book to Theophilus, one of the young men who came to the faith. Luke just wrote out this record just particularly for him, in a sense. John the Paul's epistle to the Galatians was not just read by the Galatians. Paul's epistle written to Titus or Timothy was not just for them. See, all that Jesus began to do, both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Spirit had given commandments unto the apostle whom he had chosen. After that, he through the Holy Spirit had given commandment unto the apostle whom he had chosen. Now here the apostle is mainly mentioned because they play the main part. These apostles were the disciples whom Jesus chose and whom he ministered to greatly. And they were the ones that he sent them out on a mission, giving them the revelation on what they need to receive at that particular time in their life to begin to spread the word of God, the gospel of salvation. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. To whom? To the apostles. To show them he's alive. Not only to the apostles. Later we found that there were other disciples, other believers. They actually had seen Christ. How many days? The Bible says 40 days. Huh? Okay, let's read again. Watch careful what the Bible says. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Huh? After his passion, after he died on the cross, after all that he had done, he was alive. Alive. And give them many infallible proof, being seen of them 40 days. Now, you may ask me, Brother, how can you trust the Bible? It's just one of religious book among many religious books. Sure, of course. There are many religious books in the world. Huh? Anybody can start a new religion. You know, and there are many religions starting in the world almost every day. Huh. You want to start a religion? Go to East Coast Park, sit under a coconut tree until you get a flash of lightning. Then I got the revelation. You know, you can come up with all kinds of trends, revelation and teaching, and start your own religion. See? And there are people in the world whose religion is, oh, money. Right. Every day is all about the stock market. From morning to night it's all about the stock market. They will teach you how the money is made. You must not be a sign when it's going to fall, when it's going to rise. That's a religion. And there are people whose religion is just being a health nut. You cannot eat this, you cannot eat that, you must eat this to be healthy so you can live until 120 years old. There are people just like that. Anything could be a religion. But religion is all about living their life, of course. But you know, my religion is about the life of Christ in me. It's about the reality of eternal life. Not just about following something. And how do I know that this is true? Well, simply because of this. There are witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, how do you know that this is not a book that was written by some religious people? True enough. If we have just but the one book or two books to form a Bible, then that may be, I may be a skeptic. But the Bible contains 66 books written by almost 40 people, about 40 authors, and many of these authors have never seen each other. And yet, all lines up. And all the revelation it is here is concerning one person from the very beginning. Touch and shadow and hidden mysteries that God don't intend the people of the world to understand, because it's not for them to know, as Jesus said. But unto you, my disciple, is made known the mystery of the kingdom of God. So that's one thing about why it's so important for us to look at the book of Acts closely. Because it gives us the verification, the truth, the understanding that Jesus is alive. We have not seen it. The disciples saw it. They record it now. And Jesus prayed to the Father. He said that the word I give to them, that they will preach what I give to them. And that they will be a witness of it. And that those whom they preach to, who hear their word, will believe on me. And I wasn't there 2,000 years ago. But I believe the word of the apostles, the record that they put down. Christianity is a phenomenon. It wasn't started by anybody. Nobody founded it. Christ came, Christ preached the truth. The disciples followed him, followed the teaching. And then he died. Well, it seemed to be a goodbye. But what happened after that? What happened after that? Jesus resurrected, he came back, and he was with them for 40 days and 40 nights. With the disciples, with the believers. And it was because of this that there was a motivation in them, that there was the confidence in what they saw in Christ Jesus. There were eyewitnesses to it. Being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So they believed he was alive because he was there. So from time to time, Jesus appeared to them in that 40 days. Now let's go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, the last chapter, of course. We're not going to read it, but if you just scan down all this. In this chapter of Luke, it records the event that happened in those 40 days. Luke covered all of it. The other apostles did not. Okay, just look at very quickly. Chapter 24. The first day of the week. Who went to the sepulchre or sepulchre? Who were there? Who visited the tomb? The woman. They prepared a spice to the wind. Right. Okay, and what he said then? When they were there, they found the stone rolled away. And they entered in. And they found not the body of Jesus Christ. And then they saw two men in shining garments. They were afraid. And the two men said, he is not here. but his reason. And then we went down, we'll go down to verse 9. And they returned from Sepphoca and told all those things unto the 11. There's the 11 apostles. Judas is already gone. And all the rest. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them. We told them this thing unto the apostles. We do not know how many women that were with them. And to this, and their words seem to be them as idle tales, and they believe them not. Of course, how could you believe a man is dead? How could they be risen? Cannot be. You know, all that Jesus taught them, many times he spoke in such a way that they would be probably scratching their head. Huh? Destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up. And that's why Jesus got into trouble with the Pharisees. Because Jesus don't want to give them a direct answer. And you know something? The same when Jesus talked to us, when we pray. Sometimes Jesus never give us a direct answer. You know why? The answer is already here in the Bible. We don't have to ask him again. It's already here. Just as somebody will be so foolish as to say, I heard this, then I must be rebaptized in Jesus' name again. I was already baptized in the name of the Father, already gone. So what's the difference? Because Matthew 28:19 said so. But in his heart, he realized that there's a truth to it. That he had to be baptized according to Acts 2:38. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, not Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But he went and prayed. Father, is it true? Show me that it is true. Show me some sign. Give me an answer. Well, you know what? God just keep quiet. His word is already written. What must he tell you a second time? What part of Acts 2:38 you don't understand? If God were to speak to us, what part of Acts 2:38 that you don't understand that you have to ask me again? There's so many times God doesn't answer your prayers because the answer is already there. You see? So now look. Let's go on here. And there arose Peter, ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloth lay by themselves. And departed, wondering in himself, and the which was come to pass. So he saw that, whoa, the body is not there. And the shroud that Jesus, you know, was clothed with, it was piled up there nicely. I mean, it was just lying over there. It was just wondering what's happening. Alright, and then here we have, in verse 13, and behold, two of them went that day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 kilometers, about 7-8 miles. 7-8 miles is how many kilometers? 14 kilometers, maybe 13 kilometers. They were on the road to Emmaus to Jerusalem. They walked that long distance. In those days, you don't have buses or taxi. You don't walk, or you sit on a donkey. And most people walk. Alright, that's why they live old. Here we take buses and train. And they were on the road to Emmaus, and they talked together all the things that happened. And then while they were walking, here came Jesus. In verse 15, it said so. He drew himself near and went with them. But their eyes were bitten, were holden, that they should not know him. Oh, Christ had a purpose in that. Two disciples on the way to Emmaus to go to, no, from Jerusalem on the way to Emmaus. You know, they were walking and they were talking about what happened the last 3 days and so on and so on. And here came Jesus. And they were talking and, you know, just ended the conversation. But they looked at you and they didn't see anything. Because you know what? Do you know what he said? You only see what you want to see. Yeah, it's very true, huh? Yeah. And human being is such. If you look at the scenery, if you want to see something, you will see it. Even though it's not there, you will imagine that it's there. And so, the thing is that this disciple was talking about is about what happened. Yeah, they look at Jesus, they didn't recognize because their mind was all about the event that happened in the last few days. So it was whole, you know, that there was a veil sort of covering them that they cannot see the face of Jesus to recognize him. But after all, there must be a photo, there must be something about Jesus in that at that particular time, being that he already resurrected. There's something about him. So they didn't see him. So they were talking, and they even told Jesus Christ, you know, don't you know what's going on the last few days? And then why? Let's go right on to verse 28. Even Jesus was expounding to them, huh? Oh. And then in verse 28, when they drew near unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent, and he went in tent with them. Now, the children went away that 2 minutes, and they came to a place, a home, and where they were supposed to abode. But as whether the home was a kind of an inn, or is a friend's home, the Bible didn't tell us that. You know, so the two men said, well, this is where we are. And Jesus just said, all right, let me go on. You know. This Jesus was not lying. You know what I mean? Jesus was just joining and saying, I'm going to continue my journey. And, you know, the hospitality of the people in those days is such. You know, they care for their own. It's evening time. So don't worry for them. Come and abide with us for the night. So they went in and they sat down and then had meal. It was only when Jesus took a piece of bread and he broke it, their eyes were open. Then they saw it was Jesus. And the Bible here said, verse 31, and their eyes were open and they knew him and he vanished out of their sight. How did it happen? It is not a smoke. Huh? They were sitting there at a table. And Jesus took bread and broke it. And then their eyes opened. There was Jesus. And in front of them, suddenly Jesus disappeared. Everybody will have imagination. You see, the Bible is contracted. When their eyes were open, they were surprised that this was not than the Lord Jesus. And of course, the intention probably, there were the two men were looking at each other. And it was that moment Jesus walked off and disappeared. But then to look back, it was not there. And things happened very fast. That's all I was looking for. And I'm still waiting for the sermon thunder to sound. I don't know when it's going to sound. Because one reason is when the rapturing faith comes. Because I believe that spoken word has to be given. Or else that cannot be rapturing faith. The word must be spoken to a person with ears to hear and heart to receive. Then you receive salvation. That's saving grace, saving faith. Healing faith is just the same. When the word is spoken and uttered, when you receive and you have the revelation, then you will be healed. Take up your bed and walk. See? You know, the word must be healed. I believe that when Jesus went to the Port of Bethesda and all the other places when he healed people, there would be a lot of cripples, right? Why did he not heal everyone? He was healing this man. Think about it, huh? And when he spoke to the man, I mean, there would be other who are crippled, heard what Jesus said, but the man was not speaking to them, he was speaking to this man. And the man took up his bed and walk or whatever, and the other said, let me do the same. It doesn't mean you get it. Right? In a congregation of hearers, A message could be only just for one person or two person. The rest is just, okay. That sort of thing. So one of these days you never learn how it's going to happen. But I believe that word must be spoken for the body to change. And you never know, you might be on the trail, on the bus, and somebody sits beside you and speak the word. Well, something is happening to your body. Something is happening to your body. And the next moment, when you look at the man who was speaking to, he's no longer there because he has just walked off from the bus or from the train. Yeah. Yep. I'm looking forward to that. And so, now, in verse 33, they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Wow. They already walked from Jerusalem. They came from Jerusalem 13, 40 kilometers all the way walking. How long did it take to walk 13 kilometers? 1 hour? What is the speed of a person in a walk? Natural walking. How many kilometers in 1 hour? 5 kilometers in 1 hour? Huh? 4 kilometers in 1 hour. Natural walking. Okay. So they probably have walked 3 hours. Let's say 3 hours or so. Probably they walk fast like me. Not old man speed. Alright, they reached there and then they sat down and this thing happened. Whoa! They have to go back in front of the 11. They walk all the way back again. But then they don't grumble. I got to go back in front of the 11. No! They were so joyous on the way back, they were thinking, man, this is an experience. Yeah. Think about it. It's just an experience I had when I was in India with my son. When the angel of the Lord came into the room and said, speak the word. And I just spoke it and my mind was just filled with that. What an experience. I want to get up early in the morning at 6 o'clock and see exactly that everything is okay. And I got up at 6. My mom just, I don't have an alarm clock. I just said, I got to get up at 6. And I got up at 6 o'clock. My watch exactly was 6 o'clock. And found that myself, okay, the diarrhea had stopped. There was no vomiting over in the toilet anymore. I went back to bed. I said, I got to wake up at 8 o'clock. 2 more hours I slept. And wake up exactly at 8 o'clock. And he's not on the bed. And the bed was clean. It was so joyous because you have an experience as well. You know. So, they went back. And they went and told them. And said in verse 34, the Lord is risen indeed and appeared to Simon. And they told what thing was done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. That of course in 36, so on. You find that Jesus appeared to his disciple. Now, we do not know how many days has gone by, but within the 40 days, Jesus appeared many times. Now they appeared, and they were terrified. Why were they terrified? In the first place, they locked themselves in the room. Because they were under persecution. They were accused by the authority, by the Sanhedrin, that they stole the body of Jesus. And lied to the people that Jesus has resurrected. No, how that Sanhedrin could the Pharisees bribe the God? Huh? Think. They hide themselves in the room. Here, Jesus walk into the room. Whoa! That's not real. The door's closed, the window's locked. How did you get in here? They were all shocked. And Jesus appeared to them and said, they thought, in verse 37, they thought they have seen a spirit. Then Jesus asked them, why are you so troubled? Why do thought arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself, handle me and see, for the spirit hath not flesh and bone, as you see me have. But if it wasn't a spirit, if it was flesh and bone, how on earth did he walk through the wall? How did he walk through the wall? That's There might be things that's not possible. It's got to be a spirit. Just touch me and see. And you look at over in the book of John, chapter 20, verse 24 to 29. Well, Henry, read it.
Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. And he said unto them, Except I see him in his hand the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. But after 8 days again, his disciples were with him, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, behold my hand, reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God.
Verse 29.
Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed.
Amen. Huh? So the first time Jesus came, Thomas was not there. When they told him, yeah, Jesus came to us. Until I touch his nail prints in the hand, I will not believe. God, well, we said, doubting Thomas. Yeah, we all know, when you look into this record and we laugh about this thing, we think, oh, what can he believe? Come on, let us be honest with ourselves. You and I, you will not believe even. Because it's hard to believe, isn't it true? Now, you all have seen magic, don't you? And some magic are so unbelievable. You go and watch on YouTube, Rubik's Cube magic. I couldn't believe what I see. Just how on earth it is done? Huh? A Rubik's Cube that's all messed, you know, all mixed up, put into a bag, and then put his hand in and turn it out, and it's all in its own order. Red one side, green one side, yellow one side. How is it done like that? And the Rubik's Cube is given to the judges. He didn't take it. He can open it and see. I was thinking maybe some kind of mechanism, that he pressed something and everything is shot back. But that's kind of strange. And even the Rubik's Cube was mixed up in his own hand like that. And he threw it and it all bounced back to solid color and on its side. So how? You know, it is sometimes very impossible to believe. But we know the magic are tricks. But how is it done? Will not be revealed by the magician. Because that is why it kind of intrigues our mind. How is it done? How is it done? The same thing, how did Jesus get through the wall into the room? Huh? And doubting Thomas said, come on, I cannot believe until I see. And today there are many people are just like that. But we know one thing for sure, as Bob Abraham would say, seeing is not believing. But believing is seeing. Right? How do you believe, huh? Bob Abraham put it the other way around, how true it is. If you cannot believe, you cannot see. But he said, until I see that, I believe. Until you see, you will not even believe when you see it. Don't you think so? Yeah. And there are a lot of people who think that the magic that is on show on YouTube, many of them call it demonic. Many Christians say this magic is under demon control. Because they have no idea what it is. How is it done? These are not demonic things. These are signs. If you know how to deal with numbers. How many of you played with Rubik's Cube? How many of you? I bought one last time years ago when it first came out. I tried to figure it out. I got nowhere. Really. And you see the world championship. Not only do it with 2 rows, 3 rows, 4 rows, 6 rows. My goodness. They can do it very fast. The one that is coming, the four rows, the top speed was 1 million, I don't know how many seconds. And the guy don't even have to look at it. He just look at it, the other guy, it's finished. Six rows. How am I going to deal with six rows? It took the man, I don't know, how long? Oh my, just unbelievable. You see, I don't blame Thomas. We were just wondering why Thomas was with Jesus. How could he not believe? But there is always among believers that they cannot accept things until everything satisfies them. But Jesus, knowing the heart of Thomas, said, Thomas, come on now. Touch my side. Touch my hand. And when he saw the nail print and he touched it, he didn't just see it, he felt it. You know what I'm saying? It's just a magician doing tricks. Some magicians don't want you to touch the thing. You see? But then you touch it and you know that it's a real thing. Jesus said, I'm not a ghost, I'm not a spirit. Touch it, the feeling is solid. And Thomas said, I'm my Lord and my God. And Thomas and Jesus said, because you have seen, you believe. But blessed are those who have not seen but believe. And people like us, we are not seen, but we believe. And because we believe, we see with our spiritual eye the reality of all these things that were written about Jesus Christ. And He's alive. Huh? Alright, go back to Acts. Verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart. Being assembled together with them. It's a long time that he was with them. Command them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore will come together, they ask of him, saying, Lord, would thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Now, that's one of the questions that the Jew always wanted to know. Because they're always looking for the kingdom to come. They expected the Messiah to come and set up the kingdom for them. That's what they were looking for. They were looking for the physical kingdom. And he asked, would thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Let us go. Why is this so important? Let us go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 to 12.
Of which salvation the prophet had inquired, and search diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto him. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify? When he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ, and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister his things, which are now reported unto you by them that preach the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angel desired to know.
Yes, they were looking for the kingdom of God, because the Bible tells them about this thing that will be coming. So they have seen the suffering of Christ. No. So they were expecting now that the kingdom must be restored to them. Because what? They have this revelation already according to what was written in the book of Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, 70 of which are determined upon thy people, right? Oh, that's why it's so easy. You know what? If I were living that time and looking for the Messiah, and I know what Daniel said, I will calculate the years because they are fixed. 70 weeks are determined upon your people in the holy city Jerusalem. 70 weeks of years. 7 times 7, 490 years. From the decree that was issued until the Messiah be cut out, they will know. Sure, he doesn't. Huh? Christ's cut off now. Messiah's cut off. Huh? So now would you now restore the kingdom? There is one. But you know, for us today, what is the sign that was given to us? What was given to Israel was Daniel 70th week. And it was determined. The number year was determined. Fixed. That's what they can calculate. And that's what we can understand. There was no other person except Jesus Christ. But now, what was in the New Testament for us? What was given to us now? The only thing that was given to us was Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. All about the signs of the end time, right? That's the biggest sign that we know. What was in Matthew 24? Just look at it for a while. So now, these are the prophecies. Now, Jesus did not say, it's a determined time. So many number of years. No. Not like what was given to Daniel and his people. But this one was not, there was no number of years fixed. But now, the question that was asked of Jesus Christ was in verse 3. Tell us, when shall these things be? When Jesus talked about the destruction of the temple in the first few verses. Okay? The temple will be destroyed. That there will be no stone one upon the other because they were overlaid by gold. They completely tore down the whole temple. They took the gold. Okay? Then the disciples asked, tell us what will this thing be? One. And what shall be the sign of your coming? Three. The end of the world. Huh? That's verse 3. Got it? When shall all this thing be? When? When is it going to come? What is the sign of your coming? Of your parousia? And the end of the world? Good thing, huh? And Jesus then gave it to them. Verse 4, take it, that no man deceive you. Many will come in my name, and they'll claim to be Christ, the Messiah. There'll be wars, rumors of wars. But don't worry, don't be troubled. This thing will come to pass. But the end is not yet. So now, where wars and rumors of war, the end is not yet. Oh my goodness, how long is it going to be? I don't know how long it's going to be. Okay, but then we'll see what more was given to us to understand. Because Christ is not going to tell you a number of years. From my dying to my coming, He's not going to tell you a number of years. Okay, we're looking for, He's giving us a sign. Alright. Nation rise against nation. Yeah, we have that. Right? Okay. Kingdom against kingdom. Yep. Famines. Pestilences. Earthquakes. In all different places. Oh, this is the beginning of sorrow. Just the beginning. Now what we have? We have earthquake, we have typhoon, we have flooding, we have diseases. This is just only the beginning. The worst is yet to come, brother. Why? What is yet to come? You all know, well, today's paper, I think you probably have read it in the newspaper today. The price of the thing has gone up. Huh? Oh dear. Yep. I remember I eat miswa, you know, the Taiwanese miswa with pork in there. It used to be 4 pieces, but now you only get 3. That's the price. Things are going up. What can you do? The worst is yet to come. Because when the famines and droughts and flooding, the food is going to be very scarce. It's good that we have a brother that is a farmer. We can rape the farm when there is no food. But what the sun can do for us? Nothing. Just a small one, right? And verse 9. Let deliver you up to be afflicted and kill you. Yeah, it has been going on since the bamboo curtain, the iron curtain, and even that's going on now. And they will hate you for my name's sake. Many will be offended and betray one another and hate one another. Uh-oh, that's got truth. In Christianity, they hate each other. That's why I said, watch the spirit. Yeah, they will tell them to speak lies, even the enter message. People will just speak lies. What are they gaining? Are they building their own kingdom? And this is very, very true. People are building their own kingdom. The Methodists build theirs, Methodist kingdom. The Baptist, the Catholic, the Episcopalian, the African, whatever you have. And here at the same time in the end time message. Huh? And many of them are just hypocrites today. Let me say this, brother and sister. I believe that this Word of God, if we are a child of God, this Word of God verifies and testifies of the truth that you have. The Bible said it's true. The elect cannot be deceived, right? Yes! That's what I said. In the past, many of you said, can I go to the charismatic church and see what's going on? Or can I go to that church? And go wherever you want. Because if you are a child of God, if you truly are born again, you cannot be deceived. I can only teach you the truth, and your faith is in Christ, you know the scripture, you cannot be deceived. But the moment your eyes are off the world and look upon man or what other things, you can't be deceived, because you are not a child of God then, when you're not focusing your eyes on the world. So go to charismatic and see what's going on. Go to Catholic church and see what's going on. Go to all these churches and see what's going on. Go! Go to a temple and see what's going on. I used to when I was a kid. When I used to go to Penang and witness, I took a pile of tracks and some booklet. I took a train all the way up to Penang. By myself. Yeah? And I would go to some estate. I'd pass to this big temple. And this big temple has this idol. Big idol. There are three of them. Not a big one. Up to the ceiling. Black one with a black beard. I don't know what all this deities name are in Chinese. That don't ask me. What Ang Ling Kong or Ming Kong, whatever. I have no idea what they are. Okay, but I have to walk to take a shortcut. I walk to this temple from the front, and there's a backyard. Because the first time I went there, just to look and see what's going on. And I went in there, look at this idol, and see, oh, what people are worshipping. Then on the side where there is sort of a garden, they have a well, and there's turtle there. Turtle. You know, this one, a common thing that they have turtle. Okay. And see what's going on, you know. Just walk through and then walk through the back. I'm just curious, look. I went to the Hindu temple, and just to see what's with that. Have an idea. I don't know where you know about a religion. I don't know what it's called. I think it's in Turkey. Where the people wear white with the main waistcoat and then they go around and around and around and they keep on spinning and on spinning. My goodness, they don't get giddy over. And then it's their service on that, you know? So it's kind of strange. You just get to know the religion that they have or whatever they are doing. Now, you like cannot be deceived. But all those hypocrites out there, they tell the people, don't go to Baragan's church, don't read this book, you can be deceived. What a hypocrite. One moment they call what Brother Branham said, even what the Bible said to be true, and yet they are fearful. I'm not fearful, I read all kinds of books. You should see my library, how many hundreds of books I have in my library. Different kinds of books, historical books, religious books, whatever. I want to read because I want to know. Yes. So no wonder the Bible said it's true. There are many believers that betray one another, offend one another. There are many false prophets. They will rise and deceive many. But that cannot be deceived. And became iniquity, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But then they endure to the end. How are we going to go to the end? Now this is the sign that Jesus gave. The disciples were told this already, but yet they were looking for the kingdom to come, to be established. But Jesus said one thing, the gospel in verse 14, of the kingdom shall be preach to our whole world. Has the world yet not received the gospel yet? The gospel has been to every corners of the world. But not every individual perhaps have heard of Jesus. Huh? There might be some that never heard of Jesus individually. But in general, look at, for example, Singapore. People heard of Jesus, right? Whether they want, whether they know the gospel or not, is another thing. When you try to tell them the gospel, no, you know, I have a Buddhist. And you know, no, I'm this, I'm that, so they don't want to hear. They heard about the name Jesus. And curious enough, does the name of Jesus stir something in you? It did to me when I was a child. Huh? Yeah, my father's first wife was an idol worshipper. So, because when we were young, little children growing up, 5, 6, 7 years old, huh, every time we have a festival, kitchen God time, our friend God time, and I don't know whatever that is. So we go down there, we take our joysticks, and face the altar and do this. And after a while, the chicken that is there for the idol is not eaten by him, but eaten by us. And, you know, we just look at it, and I know that this is very serious. This cannot be. I was a little boy, you know. And my mom, at one particular time around, 10, 11 years old, she talked to us about Jesus. Talked about Jesus. But the moment I didn't talk about Jesus, it rings a bell in me. It stirs something in me. Just the name Jesus and about what he did. I said, Dad, that's something here I want to know. That's why after my, I mean, 11 plus years old, there was a, you know, evangelistic meeting going on in the Baptist Church. That was at that time, 10, 11 years old. We still have what we call VBS. You know what VBS is? Not today. I don't think they have it today. It's called Vocational Bible School. It's a time when school holiday comes, parents bring these kids to the church where they have, you know, in the afternoon or the whole day, you spend there, the Sunday school teacher or teacher, they will teach you about the Bible, still use some Bible song, and then after that break time, you have something to eat. So of course, you know, we children say, free food. So we go and just to learn, and then you have some handiwork to make some little handicraft things. And I was there 10 years at age 10 and age 11. I had my half brother with me. One time he went too with me. But when this Sunday teacher or Bible class teacher, you know, they are young, they're teaching just a little kid like us, so let us pray. You know, every time everybody said, let's bow our head. Of course, you know, people bow, you know, we all bow our head. My brother, my half brother, tapped me on the shoulder. Because he doesn't believe. I ignore him though. You know, because to me, Christ is real. There came the time when they had evangelistic meeting. I went. And that message that was preached stole my heart, and I cried. I went up to the altar and gave my heart to Jesus. I was, I think, about 11 and a half years old. You know, he was real to me. You cannot say no, sir, because he was real. I found his presence, I could talk to him. It's not like talking to an idol that sits there with eyes and ears and nose and feet and hands, but sits there and he doesn't hear you. No wonder throughout the Bible, when I let them come to understand and I began to see why the children of Israel were told to keep away from idols. They have hands and feet and all this, they cannot hear you. They are made of wood and they have to be carried about. Have you seen that? Go to the Philippines and see on Good Friday and whatever day they have, they carry their little Nino or carry their black Nazarene. They have to carry their gods. I don't carry my God. It's God who carries me. Think about it. And the whole world of just saying many of these Covenant country, so it's so sad to see them doing that. Go to Nicaragua, go to all this Guatemala, all Mexico. They carry all their little gods. They will touch it and they will kiss it. They will. That's all ritual. Where that come from? It's a religion, but not the religion of God. That is why true Christianity is a conviction of faith, what the Bible shows you. The apostles, the disciples, and those that they saw the truth, they seen it. And they were convicted. No man guide them. It's just the Holy Spirit is guiding them and give them gifts. And the apostles were sent out to go and preach the word. There's no headquarters on earth. But today there are many headquarters of churches. Headquarters of Catholic Church, Vatican City. Headquarters of the Assemblies of God, Springfield, Missouri. All the various ones. Okay, let's finish off this one here. Then verse 15 onwards, you talk about the abomination of desolation that is to come. Which of course Daniel spoke of, they destroyed the temple. And therefore we know that it is also another event that will come. Because in verse 21 then said, there shall be great tribulation. And great tribulation is coming. For the children of Israel, they have been through it one time. But they are going to go through it another time. And the world has to pass through it. Alright, and then verse 22 said, if those then will be shortened, if it will be not, if except those that be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. God has to cut off that great tribulation period. If he does not, then the destruction will go on in the world. The Antichrist will seek to destroy. Now you watch in the paper, you see the report about the fire in America, was it New York or something? The report says how many priests were found to be pedophile. And he said the Pope Francis is trying to investigate, but Pope Francis himself was also a pedophile. Before he was a pope. How can it be? God did not order celibacy. Did the Bible say, man, you must be a eunuch. You cannot get married when you serve me. What did the Bible say now? All the Old Testament, the priests, they are married. And if you try to tell somebody you want to be a priest, you cannot get married. And a nun who wants to be a nun, a woman to be a nun, not to get married. That is not normal. That's why we have problems. The Bible said it's true. Some men are born eunuch. Some men make themselves eunuch. Some men are made eunuch by others. If you want to choose to be a bachelor, okay. Some people are just born, they just don't interest in goats. But there are men who are born and they're not out of force in him. No, you cannot get married. Sad, isn't it? And then he goes on to say about false Christ, arise here and there, don't follow. But one thing here, verse 27. This is where one sign that denomination cannot see. What is given here. For as the lightning come out of the east and shine even unto the west, so shall the parousia, or the coming, parousia means the revelation, okay, or the faces of his coming, of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the evil be gathered together. This verse is clearly seen in Luke chapter 17. Go to Luke chapter 17 and verse 30. We should read verse 28 actually. Likewise also as it was in the day of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, he rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even first shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Who is he speaking about? It is the revelation, it's a parousia, it's not the epiphania. Now, the problem is we have in religious Christian world today, people read the Bible in English, coming. The only thing now is the appearance of seeing Christ there. But in the Bible, there are three words that's been used. One is parousia. One is apocalypse. Okay, and the other one is epiphania. Epiphania is when you actually see him. What we call the second advent. When Christ's feet were touched on Mount Olivet, and it was split into two. That's the epiphania. What we have now is a parousia. That's what Luke is talking about. And that's what Matthew is talking about. And that's the appearance of this Son of Man's ministry. Son of Man is always referred to as prophetic ministry of a man who is called a prophet. Jesus Christ is called the Son of Man. Right? All prophets are called a Son of Man. So Jesus is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Prophet of Prophets. Right? Isn't it? And that's what he was. And that's what the Bible here is written about. That in this particular age you are living in, Jesus Christ said, the Son of Man is revealed. The revelation is now given to you. But what do we see? We see Brother Graham came. And what did he have? He had something which nobody else had except Jesus Christ himself. The very same thing that Jesus had was the very gift, the very sign that was given to Brother Branham. That is discerning the secrets of man's heart. Telling who you are, your name, where you come from, your sickness. Like Jesus did. And so Brother Branham's ministry was revealing the Son of Man. So if you want to see Christ coming, don't go out and look for him. Oh, he's here, he's there. Jesus said, don't. He's not there. Because there's a lightning flash from one corner of the earth and lights are up there. Have you ever seen what lightning is? You always see the lightning smoke, you see the light shining one on the other side. He's talking about when the Son of Man comes to reveal himself in the ministry. That message will go around the world. Now is the time that we wake up. That's not why the message was calling us out of the system, calling us out of the tradition churches, and come back to the Word of God. It's not all about Brother Branham. It's not all about any man. It's all about our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all about him. And that's why the disciples, they are being touched by what they saw. They were looking for the kingdom to come. Because they know it's supposed to be. But you know, in the next few verses, we will just close in two more verses. 7 and 8. Don't look at 7 and 8. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own power. They know that after the Messiah comes, they expect, you know, they expect. Huh? Because something is determined. When Messiah is cut off at 69 weeks, there's still one more week to go, 7 years to go. They said, would you now restore back to us? Because the Messiah is cut off at 69. So there's another 7 years to go. That's why some people believe that something with Daniel, all are all finished already. But they did not know that there was this gap. That's what Jesus said. It is not for you to know the time and the season which the Father has put in his own power. But right. You ask the question? You disciple asked me the question about the kingdom being restored now. Let me tell you this. It is not for you to know. It is not for you to know the time and the season that the Father has power in Himself to decide. But I'll stop right there. Look at what Paul said. You want to study deeper into the Word of God? That's why you have to look at what is being said. So we may understand. The Lord bless you. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, we enjoy the Word of truth, Lord. To learn, to understand all that which you have done for us, Father, in Christ Jesus. And through Him, Lord, make known to us your plan and your purpose. To that which we might, Father, Lord, gain an insight to what's coming. And know especially right now that we are children of the living God. We are your children. Having been blessed, O Father, by the grace that you've given us, the faith to see. And what manner of man, therefore, are we, Lord, to hold fast to the faith that we are called into. As we see the day fast approaching, we see all these signs coming to pass. Yeah, Lord, as a Jew looking forward to the kingdom come, that we see the kingdom that's of God, to them, Lord, is the kingdom of Israel. But we know, Father, disciples now know, they know better now. Having seen what you have said, that there's still yet a little while that you deal with the rest of the people of the world, because of the light that they have is going out from them to the Gentile nations. And we are privileged, Lord, to have received it as well. So, Lord, we ask for your grace. Bless the Holy Word. And may our heart, O Father, rejoice and be blessed for all that which you have given us in Christ Jesus. Lord, bless today now. In Jesus' name. Amen.